Right. Miscellaneous staff report. Start with Paul.
Just a couple items. We sent out an advisory to Central San reaffirming a pensionable pay item for the general manager's auto allowance.
Yeah, they appreciate that.
Originally approved that in December, and then after further legal review with Karen, we reaffirmed that advisory. And then we sent out an advisory to the Health Services Department for the physician exam. Got positions, they're on call. Based on the review, Karen and I over the last 2 months spent a lot of work and that's a lot of employer outreach to the department, to all the stakeholders and the union. And it was, you know, deemed again non-pensionable.
But with that, and I think you may have been copied, I sent it to Gail last night, there is an issue of a labor and delivery personnel that are on site in their shift, and even though it's called on call, they're not on call at home waiting, and apparently that is of concern. So I'm asking Gail to sort of follow up on that so I can get a better understanding of why we're determining it that way, if it's actually required work, that they're actually physically present at the hospital.
And actually, to that point, we had done an outreach to their payroll department, Dort McCullough. We've exchanged information. She explained how the coding is, the benefit. I think the claim that it's a benefited position and how it's coded. It's coded as on-call, as all the other on-call. The MOU supports that. And there was there wasn't additional information that would actually parse that out as a separate. I guess it was Dr. McCollum that was saying that it replicates shift work, but there was no other documentary evidence that we could rely on that would actually say that and support it.
Okay, well let's.
Because it is done during work hours, but it's not required of everyone in that classification. And there's actually, I think, less than 10% are actually doing it. So, okay. Well, we can talk more.
So, I'm guessing for them, if the employer, the county hospital, wants to have it pensionable, perhaps they need to code it differently or define it differently. Because I'm.
Yeah, that's a discussion between
right.
the employer
yeah.
and the labor group. I think.
Okay.
Is there a difference between Legacy and Pepper on that one?
Yeah, there's no add-ons on Pepper.
Yeah, Pepper wins the pensionable.
Base pay.
Once I'm asking if it's a Pepper person doing this, would they wouldn't get it anyway, right?
Right. That's
okay. That's what I was asking.
And again, we can talk offline.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to bore with the
no,
discussion
no,
as to,
know,
is, to with regard to what is required. Because from what I'm hearing from Dr. McDonald, is it is required. They do need to have these people delivering babies. So anyway, okay.
Alexis.
No.
Okay. Swing around to Karen.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Tim.
Just a preview of the next board meeting in 2 weeks. We're going to have some guidance to the board on how best to engage in the private market side of the equation. The board's approved a very large private markets allocation. And we're going to provide some guidance on what the different models look like and what some potentially more cost-effective solutions would be. And then we're going to have initial feedback on the liquidity search. The RFPs are coming back in today. There's a dozen RFPs. We'll be processing those and conducting additional research over the month of June and probably into the early part of July, but we'll at least be able to provide initial feedback in 2 weeks.
And the second, Tim. Okay. I'm sorry. I always start out keeping you the best for last. And
especially when I have exciting news that Sarah has a new accounting manager.
Hey.
His name is, I'd like to introduce you to this is Henry Godino. He comes to us from the city and county of San Francisco, where for the last 4 years he's been the capital asset supervisor. He also has been the accounting manager for the city of Hayward for 6 years. He's an active CPA, and he started last week. We're very excited to have him.
Welcome.
Welcome. Super.
Nice to meet you all.
Yeah.
On July 12th, CSER will be having a staff development day. July 30th, we'll have our picnic. all board members will receive invitations to that. We had a few come last year, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of employees come as well, so it was a great event. And let's see.
Same location?
Yeah. Same location. Yeah, so mid to late June, you'll be getting some invitations for that event. We have a number of recruitments out there for a compliance business analyst, deputy general counsel, retirement office specialist, member services tech, and member services supervisor.
Good.
Super. Outside professional, I see Mr. Monroe. Anything further? Happy to call him a day.
It's a little feature we call Ask the Board Members. Just kidding.
All right, and trustee comments.
Just a question. Ken Sandy was up there. We talked about on the May 4th meeting of putting that on the agenda for the several other members that were up on public comic on May 4th. Mm-hmm. Do we got a date yet, or are we looking at an agenda to put them on?
I don't have a date yet, but it is going to be pretty soon.
Yeah, so I put it on sooner than later because this is affecting a lot of the older retiree people.
Yeah.
Anything? Gabe?
One funny point, all that discussion we did, the impact on the employees, and it cost each member $9.63 a month more because of our decision. So after taxes, about $7 a month more.
Right.
That shouldn't impact them too badly.
No, I think that one will be accepted, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for doing the math.
Thank you.
Before I start getting the angry phone calls and emails. Like,
you can refer me to Gabe.
But that
actually,
we gave that.
I took 1.1 million times 0.07 divided by 8,000 members. That's math, right? So we raised it by 1.1 million. We added 0.07.
That's where I came to.
John's back there figuring it out right now.
John's saying all that.
No. Not quite right.
Second, on Friday, I'm going to be moderating Raleigh at the Calipers. That needs to be really good because how many 1937X have compliance officers?
Functionally, no. We're the only one. Sarah has a compliance manager, but it's mostly contract compliance. There's a couple of others that have the position rostered, but not active.
And then it's CalPERS, so it's everybody, but I think the CalPERS compliance officer will be speaking with you.
Yeah, their chief compliance officer is going to be talked to her once or twice over the years. She's a very insightful one.
Scott.
I had one item. I was struggling to find the bill reference when Karen was doing the legislative update, but there was one other bill that doesn't directly affect us, but it's SB 330, Senator Mendoza's bill, that would enlarge the scope of potential conflicts under Government Code Section 1090 to include adult children and siblings of decision makers, board members, any public official. And I was trying to figure out if it made it out of the House of Origin in time. It actually had been in the Assembly.
I'll check and provide an update.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get an updated bill reference, but it's interesting. So for those of you who have adult, children or siblings working in the industry that contract with us, that could be a potential basis of conflict. Believe it or not, in the last year, I've encountered that situation in two different entities in California where elected officials opted to vote, even though their adult siblings and or children were directly involved in the beneficiaries of the action. Stunning to me. One resulted in such a public outcry that the member actually belatedly recused herself. But it's, and ironically, right, it was right in Senator Mendoza's backyard in the city of Whittier. So a very interesting development. But it could potentially affect those of us who, in this life, who may have, relations that work in financial services firms and
And my poor son-in-law at his job had to disclose me. He works for a fund in San Francisco. And so he had to disclose he was related to me as he got employed. So,
There you go.
He was really happy.
But it's interesting that you'd have to legislate something that I would like to think would be a no-brainer and an easy call to stay out of a decision.
Right.
Because it's hard for me to understand how you could be unbiased. particularly with your own children involved, adult or not. So anyway. Well,
that's what gets a lot of elected officials in trouble. So
personal financial interest is.
Come to learn why that bill has died in three prior sessions. Because it's apparently a problem in Sacramento. But we'll see how
too many kids.
See Senator Calderon for details.
Yes.
All right. Hopefully everybody notices it is way before 1 o'clock.
Wow.
I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah, we started at 8.
All right. Yes, we did what we could, Louis. Did what we could.
It's got that.